This is the Middle East Debrief by Atlas News. Hello, and welcome to the Middle East Debrief by Atlas News, where we give an in-depth breakdown of this week's top stories from the region. In today's episode, we'll delve into a recent announcement by Kataib Hezbollah, a prominent Iraqi militia group backed by Iran. This announcement sheds light on the ongoing tensions between Iran, the United States, and Israel, particularly in the context of Iraq. Firstly, let's establish some background. Kataib Hezbollah is a key player within the Axis of Resistance, a term used to describe groups aligned with Iran, including Hezbollah in Lebanon and the Houthis in Yemen. In this case, however, it specifically refers to various Iranian-backed militias operating in Iraq and Syria. Kataib Hezbollah's announcement centers on a meeting held in Tehran with Iraqi leaders of this Axis of Resistance. The group released a statement outlining three key points. It emphasizes their commitment to defending oppressed people and protecting Iraq's gains, highlighting their strategic approach and unwavering stance. Interestingly, the statement clarifies that the recent pause in attacks on U.S. forces shouldn't be misconstrued as the end of their resistance. They view this pause as a calculated move, allowing them to adapt and manage their actions effectively. Now, let's unpack the context behind these statements. Kataib Hezbollah has been at the forefront of recent attacks targeting American forces in Iraq, Syria, and Jordan. These attacks were seen as a show of support for Hamas in the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, as Iran views both Israel and the U.S. as adversaries. However, the situation escalated when a drone strike killed three American soldiers in Jordan. This prompted U.S. retaliation against militia targets, leading to a temporary halt in attacks by Kataib Hezbollah. However, their latest statement suggests this might be a strategic pause. They emphasize the importance of timing for future actions, hinting at the possibility of renewed attacks. Their ultimate goal aligns with Iran's, to expel U.S. forces from the region and solidify Iranian influence. The current situation is complex. With talks underway regarding the potential withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq, Kataib Hezbollah faces a critical decision. They might choose to launch new attacks to pressure the U.S. or wait and see how the talks progress, avoiding further American retaliation. We'll continue to monitor this evolving situation and provide updates as they become available. This is a significant development with potential implications for regional stability. By understanding the motivations and strategies of these actors, we can gain a clearer picture of the ongoing power struggle in the Middle East. Next, Canada's political landscape has shifted in regards to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Following a motion by the New Democratic Party, NDP, the government has committed to halting future arms exports to Israel. This decision stems from concerns about potential human rights violations. The ongoing conflict in Gaza created a situation where Canada, according to Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly, couldn't guarantee its exports wouldn't be misused. It's important to note that this is a cessation, not a complete suspension of arms trade. Existing contracts might still be honored, with the exact details remaining unclear. The NDP motion, however, was more extensive. Originally, it called for a full suspension of military trade and immediate recognition of Palestine as a state. The ruling Liberal Party negotiated amendments, resulting in the final text we see today. These amendments reflect a more nuanced approach. Canada still supports a two-state solution, but emphasizes working towards it through international partnerships. The motion acknowledges Israel's right to self-defense, but stresses the importance of respecting international law and minimizing civilian suffering. The motion garnered support from opposition parties like the NDP, Bloc Québécois, and the Greens. Interestingly, three Liberal MPs voted against it, highlighting a potential rift within the party. Conversely, all Conservative MPs opposed the motion. Reactions are divided. Pro-Palestinian groups see this as a positive step towards ending the conflict. Pro-Israel groups, however, express anger and disappointment, accusing the government of succumbing to pressure. It's crucial to remember that this motion is non-binding. The government holds the ultimate decision on how to proceed. Whether Canada truly adheres to all the motion's points remains to be seen. This situation signifies a significant shift in Canadian foreign policy regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It highlights the complexities of the issue and the challenges of balancing support for Israel's security with concerns about human rights. We'll continue to monitor how this situation unfolds and its potential impact on the region. Next, The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 was a defining moment, sparking public outrage and finger-pointing between political parties. Now, retired generals Mark Milley and Kenneth McKenzie, who oversaw the operation, are offering their insights for the first time. To understand the complexities of the withdrawal, we need to rewind. The U.S. invaded Afghanistan in 2001, following the 9/11 attacks. The initial goal, capturing Osama bin Laden and dismantling al-Qaeda, evolved into nation-building efforts. Over the next two decades, the U.S. presence fluctuated, with troop surges and attempts to train Afghan forces. Milley and McKenzie acknowledge a flawed withdrawal strategy. The Doha Agreement, signed with the Taliban under the Trump administration, set a timeline for U.S. departure, regardless of conditions on the ground. This, they argue, demoralized Afghan forces who saw their American allies leaving. Another critical point, the slow and inadequate civilian evacuation process. The generals claim they lacked crucial information about the number of Americans in Afghanistan, hindering effective evacuation efforts. Both Milley and McKenzie reject the blame game employed by politicians. They argue that all administrations, including those before them, share responsibility for the challenges faced during the withdrawal. The chaotic withdrawal has become a political weapon, with Republicans criticizing President Biden's handling of the situation. However, there's a bright spot. Lawmakers from both parties are expected to expand Afghan visa programs, allowing more refugees and immigrants to enter the U.S. This bipartisan effort offers a glimmer of hope amidst the political divisiveness. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan exposed flaws in strategy, communication, and execution. While the finger-pointing continues, the testimonies of Milley and McKenzie offer valuable insights. We can only hope that these lessons are learned and inform future U.S. interventions abroad. Finally, the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 was a defining moment, sparking public outrage and finger-pointing between political parties. Now, retired generals Mark Milley and Kenneth McKenzie, who oversaw the operation, are offering their insights for the first time. To understand the complexities of the withdrawal, we need to rewind. The U.S. invaded Afghanistan in 2001, following the 9/11 attacks. The initial goal, capturing Osama bin Laden and dismantling al-Qaeda, evolved into nation-building efforts. Over the next two decades, the U.S. presence fluctuated, with troop surges and attempts to train Afghan forces. Milley and McKenzie acknowledge a flawed withdrawal strategy. The Doha Agreement, signed with the Taliban under the Trump administration, set a timeline for U.S. departure, regardless of conditions on the ground. This, they argue, demoralized Afghan forces who saw their American allies leaving. Another critical point, the slow and inadequate civilian evacuation process. The generals claim they lacked crucial information about the number of Americans in Afghanistan, hindering effective evacuation efforts. Both Milley and McKenzie reject the blame game employed by politicians. They argue that all administrations, including those before them, share responsibility for the challenges faced during the withdrawal. The chaotic withdrawal has become a political weapon, with Republicans criticizing President Biden's handling of the situation. However, there's a bright spot. Lawmakers from both parties are expected to expand Afghan visa programs, allowing more refugees and immigrants to enter the U.S. This bipartisan effort offers a glimmer of hope amidst the political divisiveness. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan exposed flaws in strategy, communication, and execution. While the finger-pointing continues, the testimonies of Milley and McKenzie offer valuable insights. We can only hope that these lessons are learned and inform future U.S. interventions abroad.